I left my office maybe an hour later and headed home. I needed to get started on Omicron, but I didn't want to do it on company infrastructure. Anything I did on their system would be visible to someone in the company, and Javier said he wanted to keep it quiet. Thanks to Dernier's efficiency, I could pull the list of Omicron names down from my system at home. His work would leave some tracks for sure if somebody really wanted to find it, but I figured legal types knew how to protect themselves. I descended to the marble palace that VPC called a lobby and exited through the ridiculous revolving doors. A chilly blast of wind whipped down the canyon of skyscrapers and made me gasp as I stepped out onto the sidewalk. I regretted leaving my coat in the office. The wind always blew on Talca 4, at least in the parts I'd visited, the one drawback on an otherwise nice planet. Not that I had had a choice in where I lived. All the big military technology companies are headquartered on Talca. They needed access to politicians, and more important, the military bureaucracy. I walked 100 meters to the transportation stop and pulled out my device while I waited. I punched up my contacts and spoke a message to Karen Plaz, a reporter I knew from my time on Kappa. "Call me. I've got a story for you." A few seconds later, the bus hovered around the corner and I stepped on, finding a seat easily as normal people still had to work in the early afternoon. I kept my head down, trying to avoid eye contact with the dozen or so other people on board. I made it to my seat about halfway back, thinking nobody had spotted me. But when I looked up, the man sitting across the aisle was staring at me with a goofy grin.
"I'm sorry to bother you, but I have to say it's an honor to be on the same bus with you, sir. You showed those alien bastards who runs the galaxy."
He kept grinning. I gave him a flat smile and nodded in a practiced gesture of acknowledgement that seemed to make people happy. Alerted by the man's words, the woman a couple seats down looked over and then made an exaggerated show of looking away as if she wanted to make sure I knew of her distaste. I knew. It happened often enough. I put my face down into my device again and blocked them out, spending the 13 painful minutes it took to reach my stop scrolling through the news, searching for anything related to Omicron. Nothing jumped out at me. I got off and walked 50 meters to the door of my building. I didn't have the best address, but the easy access to transportation helped make up for it, and I'd lived in worse places. The nondescript apartment building had a fake stone facing that the architect meant to look sophisticated. Instead, it looked cheap. I took the lift to the 7th floor and keyed the dual encryption to turn off my alarm. What I saved in rent, I spent on security. As soon as I got through the door of my 2-bedroom unit, I called Sheila Jackson, making sure to use her personal device and not anything associated with VPC.
"Hey, where are you?" she asked.
"I cut out early," I said.
"Must be nice."
"It is," I said. "Hey, what do you know about Jacques Dernier?" Sheila knew everybody. She had one of those minds that remembered faces and names. I couldn't really relate.
"From legal?"
"Yeah."
"Not much," she said. "He's been with the company 4 or 5 years. Joined up right out of law school, I think."
"Who's his patron?" I asked. "Does he have one?"
"He's tight with Abari, deputy VP for legal. I don't know how much there is to that, but they're definitely friendly. They eat lunch together sometimes."
"That could be business," I said.
"Probably is," said Sheila. "But people tend to find other options for lunch if they don't like somebody."
"Right. So who is Abari hitched to?"
"You mean other than the CEO?"
"That's what I thought," I said. "Abari is Javier's person in legal?"
"Pretty much, yeah. Javier doesn't really get along with the VP for legal, so he's got Abari in the number 2 seat."
"So if Javier wanted a lower-level lawyer, he'd probably ask Abari, who would give him Dernier's name."
"Very possible," said Sheila.
"Thanks, you're the best."
"This is true," she said. "You owe me lunch."
"You got it." I hadn't learned much, but I appreciated the background, in case something came up later. My device hummed before I even set it down.
"What do you have for me?"
Karen Plaza's voice. She worked the Capitol beat now, and we kept in touch every month or so. We always said we should talk more often, being on the same planet, but we never did.